Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Welcome to Nobody Told Me. I'm Laura Owens.
And I'm Jan Black.
Most of us have negative thoughts and feelings we ought to let go of, like expectations, grudges, certain beliefs, and judgments, but we hang on to them. Our guest on this episode, Peter Russell, says we shouldn't. Peter is a world-renowned author and teacher who believes the critical challenge today is to free human thinking from the limited beliefs and attitudes that lie behind so many of our personal, social, and global problems.
Peter earned degrees in theoretical physics, psychology, and computer science at the University of Cambridge in England, where he studied for a time with Stephen Hawking. Peter's latest book is called Letting Go of Nothing: Relax Your Mind and Discover the Wonder of Your True Nature. Peter, we thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, lovely to be with you both. Looking forward to it.
Tell us more about the meaning behind the title of your book, Letting Go of Nothing.
Right. Yes. It's actually a slight play with words. It's letting go of no thing. When you think of letting go, we often say, I've got to let go of this relationship or this job or this house or what I was going to do yesterday or, you know, whatever it is, our expectations. What we're actually letting go of is not things in themselves. What we're letting go of is an attitude, a mindset. It's how we see things. So we're letting go of our attachment, and our attachment isn't actually a thing in itself. You can't sort of get hold of an attachment like you can even a feeling or a thought. So it's not, our attachments aren't things in themselves. It's how we see things. So that's the meaning behind the title. We're not letting go of things, although we sometimes think we are. What we're letting go is our attachments. And our attachment isn't actually a thing in itself. It's a no thing. So that's why I call it letting go of nothing. And often when we do let go of our attachment, it's like, oh, it was nothing. We had that feeling.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So if we're talking about it in terms of a relationship, in terms of a breakup, Are we letting go if we just try and not think about it when it comes into our head, or are we supposed to embrace it and try and work through those feelings?
Yes. I mean, clearly, if it's been a breakup, the relationship has already ended. So, you know, it's not about changing the world or what's happening. So what we're changing is our attitude, what's going on inside us, our attachment to it. And so what I suggest with people is we come back to what's going on inside us, not trying to push away the whatever it is, the holding on. That's what we tend to do, is push things away, try to get rid of the feelings, like banish them to the back of our mind or stop feeling them or do something else, think of something else. We tend to go away from them. What I'm suggesting is, and this is what I've found in my life in terms of exploring letting go, it's best to, first of all, do the opposite, by which I mean letting it in. And with any emotion like this, there's a feeling there. There's something going on in the body. Any emotion, whatever it is, there's a feeling element to it. There's things in the body which we feel. So with something like this, we may feel a tightness in ourselves. We may feel something that's sort of a pushing away, something like that. We may feel different things. It varies. But first of all, come back to, what are you actually feeling now? So letting in the feeling, and also letting in whatever you're telling yourself. There's always some story about maybe what the other person did wrong, or how this didn't happen, or how it needn't have happened, or whatever it is. There's some story you're telling yourself. Let that in. See what you're telling yourself. So that's the first stage, is to let in the feelings that are there in the body. The body is such a great teacher. And then letting in what we're telling ourselves, the story. And then just letting them be, not trying to change anything, not trying to change what's going on in the body or trying to change what we're telling ourselves, but not resisting them either, just allowing them to be there. And what begins to happen when you do this is often, it's almost miraculous at times, the whole thing begins to soften. And sometimes it just dissolves completely, but usually it just softens and we begin to feel better. And it's often this sense of ah, relief. And then maybe as things have softened a bit, we're in a better state of mind to begin to look at what's really going on here. So I see letting go as not something, it's an instant thing. It's a process that happens of a gradual softening of the holding on. But it comes, as I say, not from trying to push it away. That's what we may want in the end, to be rid of it. But I found the best way is to be curious, welcome it in, see what's going on is the first step.
Now, what are the benefits to letting go? On a deep level, of course, we all know that if we were to let go of these grudges and expectations and judgments and all those kinds of things, that that would help us. And yet we can't really do that sometimes because it's hard to do. We like to hold on to these things. But what are the benefits of doing that?
The benefit is, I mean, the first benefit is a real good personal one. We feel better. There's usually a sense of relief, a sense of greater ease. It's like, that sort of sense when we let go, we feel better for it. And paradoxically, the reason we hold on to something, the reason we're attached to a point of view or a judgment of a person or how we think things should be done, whatever it is, whatever we're holding on to, if you look deep, deep down, what there's this sort of underlying belief that I'm going to feel better in some strange way for holding on to this. It's going to help me. It's going to help me in some way. I'm going to feel better in the long term. And that may be true in some way, but when we let go, we just feel better instantly. So the holding on is actually often creating discontent, more discontent, as opposed to the letting go, where we just feel this sense of greater ease. And that's what we're looking for throughout our life, really. We're looking for how to be at ease, how to be happy, how to be at peace, deep, deep down when you analyze everything. So that's what we get from letting go, is coming back to ourselves, basically, and feeling better.
I think it's really interesting how you say that we get attached to the idea of letting go more than letting go. I knew exactly what you meant, but I couldn't describe it.
Exactly.
So can you explain it?
Yes. I mean, it's like, well, we say, you know, I must let go of this. I can't let go of this. Well, people say, just let go. We say, I've tried to let go. So the idea, you know, I've got to let go. I've got to do something. And we think of letting go as doing something. And so in that sense, we get attached to it. And what I'm saying is, you can't do letting go. We're already doing too much. We're doing the holding on. So we have to let things soften and relax. And so I see letting go as a relaxation rather than holding on to this idea we get, you know, oh, I've got to let go. How do I let go? We start, you know, trying to let go, which in my experience, you know, doesn't really work, but we keep on doing it. That's the attachment. Oh, you know, how can I let go? Maybe I'll try do this. Maybe I'll try doing that. But in the end, it's just allowing ourselves to relax out of it.
You have so much wisdom in the book. And one example is that a mind that is worried cannot almost by definition be a mind that is peace. That the sad truth is about human beings that worrying whether or not we'll be at peace in the future prevents us from feeling at peace in the present. How can we sort of apply that to our own lives and deal with this worry?
Right. When there's worry, there's something going on in our, there's some thought, some story, something we're thinking about that's causing the worry. And that then creates tension in the body and other feelings. What I found is we actually have the choice not to follow that thought in the moment. It may come back, but in any moment, we can actually choose, you know, something we're worrying about, like, you know, what's going to happen with, you know, when I meet this person tomorrow, we've got a difficult conversation or whatever. You can begin to notice, hang on, this thought is actually just creating more discontent at the moment, more tension. And right now, I can choose not to follow that thought any further. When we choose not to follow it, then we begin to notice, there was a deeper sense of ease that was already there, but my worrying was covering it up. And so it's something, this is a practice we can begin to do a lot, just recognizing when we're caught up in some thought and just choosing not to follow it anymore. And when it comes back again, just stepping out of it again, choosing not to follow it. So that's, and when we do that, then we begin to discover this, I think, a, you know, very basic truth about life, that the worrying about basically we're worrying about whether or not we're going to be happy in the future stops us actually being happy in the present moment. It's fascinating. It's a sad story, but it's so true.
We love having you as part of our Nobody Told Me family of listeners. We know a lot of you want to be your own boss or already operate your own business. That's why we want you to know about Shopify. With Shopify, you'll create an online store in your vibe, discover new customers, and grow the following that keeps them coming back.
Hear that? That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, and the moment another business dream becomes reality. Shopify is the all-in-one commerce platform that's revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're a garage entrepreneur or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without the struggle.
Shopify puts you in control of every sale channel. So whether you're selling satin sheets from Shopify's in-person POS system, or offering organic olive oil on Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform, you're covered. And once you've reached your audience, Shopify has the internet's best converting checkout to help you turn them from browsers to buyers.
Once you start selling, Shopify makes getting paid simple by instantly accepting every type of payment. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere.
What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level.
Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is truly a global force, powering Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 170 countries.
Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nobody, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/nobody to take your business to the next level today.
Shopify.com/nobody. Like you said, we need to be thinking in the present. We need to not be thinking about negative thoughts, but it's just so hard to put into practice. So in a negative experience, how do we get ourselves to not think of it negatively, not have to have more things to let go of?
Right. Firstly, I mean, talk about mastering letting go. I'm no master. It's an ongoing practice. And the more we practice it, the easier it gets, and the more we learn about it, the more we learn about ourselves. So it's coming back to, again, noticing what's going on in ourselves. So, you know, with thoughts, etc., we just choose when we notice something coming up. We can see it when we see ourselves getting caught in it. Then we have, you know, we can either continue with it and get more caught up in it, more caught up and more anxious, or we can just say, hang on, we can look at ourselves. And this is what it's about, really, is looking at ourselves and saying, what's going on here? What's going on here? What's going on in my thoughts? But always, as I said at the beginning, coming back to what's going on in my body, because our body can tell us so much about what's happening underneath and begin to feel things through our body. And that, to me, is a really important part of the letting go, because we tend to resist noticing the body. We put it out to the edge of our mind, but the more we can let it in, and that, to me, is a crucial part of just this ongoing practice of gradually getting better at letting go, is coming back to the body, noticing what's actually there, what the feelings are there.
What are some of the areas that we should look at in our lives to determine whether we're holding on to things? I mean, we've talked about beliefs and expectations. What are some of the other areas where we may be holding on to things that we should just let go of?
When we have judgments of other people, when we think this person did wrong or something, and you know they're not doing it the right way, when we get irritated, I mean that's always a very good sign that something we need to look at. It's when we start getting irritated or frustrated, that's time, I think, rather than just thinking, oh, this person is wrong, they've got to change or whatever it is, or I don't like them. Any sign like this, any irritation, is a very good time to just stop and just to sort of sit back, be quiet and say, okay, what's actually happening here? I find it useful actually to write out what's going on in my mind as a way of sort of releasing it. The more we can release this stuff, either by feeling it or writing about it or whatever, the more we can experience it, the easier it becomes to just allow it to release. And that's just it. Any awkward feeling like that, I think, is always a sign maybe we're holding on to something. And so there may be something here to let go of. And also, you know, this, when we find there's that voice, what I call the insistent voice, so that you must do this, you've got to do this, this is the right way to do something, or this mustn't happen. When you notice that voice of insistence in you, that I find is another good time to just stop, say, hang on, let's just check in here. You know, is this voice that's telling me I must do this? Just check. Is this really right? Are there other things I could be doing instead? Should I maybe just wait? What I notice in my own life is when I notice that thing, oh, you've got to call this person, you've got to do this, you've got to say this, or whatever it is, just to pause and just wait a bit and let the insistence die down a bit. And often things turn out much better. I realize, oh, I'm so glad I didn't, you know, go ahead with that, because it turned out much better just to pause and wait a bit.
I was in a physically abusive relationship, and I've worked really hard over the years to let go of the pain that caused me and how it felt to be criticized and really believe in myself again. And I think I've done a pretty good job at it, but every once in a while, things come up that remind me of what it felt like, of how I hurt or how I didn't feel adequate. And I feel like I haven't fully let go. And then I get down on myself. Is that kind of a situation, which I know a lot of people have been in, is that something that can ever really overcome and let go? Or do we just need to accept the fact that it's going to be with us from time to time?
Both. I think, you know, accept the fact these things are going to come up, because, you know, traumatic experiences leave a very deep trace inside us. So they're going to come up from time to time. And when they do, I mean, then we can do things to find ways to stop them having such an effect upon us. And so when you notice yourself getting caught up in it again, that's the time we can begin to work in it, when you find yourself getting caught up. And so, again, I would say the first thing is notice how you're feeling. Like, there's going to be some sort of tension, anxiety or something. There's probably quite a lot going on in your body with something like this. And so just being curious, like with a completely open mind, like just being interested. So what happens in my body when this comes up? What happens in my body? What do I feel? Oh, I notice a tension here. Oh, I notice a slight pain here. I notice whatever it is, a holding pattern or an energy wanting to do something. So allowing that in, it can be really useful, because when we push it away, we're keeping things in place. I mean, it was Carl Jung who said, what you resist persists. He means, you know, the feelings, the ideas, whatever it is, what you push to the edge of your mind stays there and keeps controlling you. So this is doing the opposite, just allowing it in, and it begins to free things up. And then the same with, you know, when something like this happens, there's almost certainly you're going over something, you're reminded of something that happened or how it happened, whatever it is. Just, again, being curious as to what it is you're telling yourself, what's going on here. And this isn't going to get rid of it, but it's going to soften it. And the more we can do that, the easier it becomes to just do, you know, deal with these things as they come up. So I see it as an ongoing process that we gradually get more and more skilled at.
Why do you say that letting go now is more important than ever?
I'm talking here about the world we're moving into. No one knows the future, but it looks clear that, you know, well, first of all, things are accelerating technologically, scientifically, but also environmentally. The world, everything is moving faster and faster and faster. So there's going to be more and more change, more and more unpredictable things happening. All of this means we need to be more flexible in how we approach things. We need to be more creative. We need to be more stable in ourselves, so that we're not sort of blown around by events. And I think letting go can really, really help us in these ways. We need to probably let go sometimes of how we've done things in the past, because a completely new approach may be needed. We may need to let go of our expectations. Oh, I thought things were going to be this way, and suddenly Suddenly the world has changed. If we hold on to our expectations, oh, you know, this isn't the way it's meant to be, we're just going to make ourselves upset again and again. The more we can let go and accept, okay, this is how things are. How do I respond now? So this is why I think letting go is going to be a skill that we're going to be called upon to have more and more as we move into the times ahead.
Since meditation is such a big part of this, and you can just tell by your demeanor, you obviously really have it down. You have a really relaxed way about yourself. But I know for people like myself and a lot of my friends, we're really kind of amped up and consider ourselves to not be good meditators. So what should we do to kind of relax and get into the mindset that you have?
First of all, don't try to be a good meditator. I mean, I think...
Right off.
I mean, most people, the idea of meditation is it's difficult. It's very hard to quieten the mind. You've got to control your thoughts. We can't control thoughts. People say, oh, I've tried to meditate. I couldn't stop thoughts coming in. You know, I'm not a good meditator, whatever. Let go of any idea of what a good meditator is or let go of any idea of what meditation is. To me, the sort of meditation that I teach is really how to allow the mind to relax. And as soon as you start trying to relax the mind, you can't do it. You just create more tension. And so the first thing I suggest to people when they meditate is just to sit quietly, let go of any idea of you've heard about meditation or about thoughts and things. And you'll notice what's happening in the moment. You notice your body, your sounds around you. And then you'll notice thoughts coming in. Now, the difference is in daily life, when a thought comes, we follow it. This thought's interesting. We go off, we follow that thought. It leads to something else. Then something else happens. An email comes through. And we're just living one thought to another thought to another thought. The difference is in meditation, when you notice you're off on some thought, we just make that choice. I'm not going to follow that thought anymore right now. I've decided I'm going to sit down. I've got the time free. There's nothing urgent. There's no need to follow that thought right now. I can do that later. So you just choose not to follow the thought and then just become interested in the present moment again. Become interested in how your body's feeling or what sounds you're hearing or sensation, whatever it is. And then another thought will come in and then you do the same thing, just choosing not to follow it. And as you do this, gradually the mind settles down of its own accord. You don't need to do anything to make the mind quiet. You can't make the mind quiet, but you can stop fueling it. I sometimes say it's like, you know, if you put logs on a fire, if you keep on putting logs on a fire, it'll keep burning. If you stop putting logs on the fire, it'll gradually die out. And it's the same with the mind. If we stop following the thoughts, just choosing not to go there, gradually the mind will settle down on its own and you'll find less thoughts coming in, or the thoughts will be gentler, quieter thoughts. So it's all about just allowing the mind to settle down. And in this, the less you do, the better. In fact, not doing anything is the best approach here. Well, that's not what we think, but that's the best approach. And, you know, thoughts will come in. It's not about trying to stay present either. You can't stay present, but it's about learning how to return to the present easily and as often as you wish.
Peter, the subtitle of your book is Relax Your Mind and Discover the Wonder of Your True Nature. What do you mean by true nature?
What I mean by true nature is how you are when you're not caught up in worry, anxiety, planning, or excitement, or when you're not caught up in some experience or thinking. When that dies away, how we are without that is actually one of ease and contentment. And so when we relax our mind, I'm talking about in meditation, when we relax our mind, we come back to this natural state of ease and contentment. Or we're saying earlier about, you know, don't worry, it's the worry overshadows it. So I see our true nature, what I call our natural state of mind, is how we are when we're not caught up in worry, anxiety, whatever it is. Our natural state of mind is actually one of deep contentment, deep peace, deep ease. And so the more we can relax our mind, the more we can discover. And it is the wonder that feels it feels lovely. It's almost delicious at times when we drop back. It's like, ah, here I am. And then you notice this sense of I am that's always there, not the I am Peter Russell, author, blah, 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 but just that I am that's always there, that's been there all your life, that sense of you, that sense of deep being. We begin to become aware of that. And there's a lovely sort of quietness to that. And so it's just nourishing. The more we just come back to being in this quiet, natural, peaceful state, the better we feel. And it's not about getting anywhere. People often say, oh, you've got to go and find your true self. You've got to go and find happiness. You don't have to find it. What we're doing is we're removing, if you like, the veils that overshadow it, removing the blocks to our experience of it. It's always there, but most of the time we don't notice it because we're so busy thinking, doing things, etc.
That answer makes me really excited for our last question. We always ask our guests, what is your nobody told me lesson? So what did nobody tell you about the power of letting go that you wish they had when you were younger, because it would have made your life happier and just more peaceful?
Yeah. Oh, I think it's that old thing. It's not my phrase. Don't worry, be happy. It's like just seeing how our worry gets in the way. So, I mean, and that's what, you know, I've heard it, but it took a lot of just really working with it to just learn that from experience, to learn from experience. We can drop back into happiness. The whole world, my parents' education, everything was telling me you need to do things, find things, get things in order to be happy. And I think the discovery was, no, I need to stop all that trying and worrying in order to be happy.
Peter, how can people connect with you on social media and the internet?
The internet, my website is peterrussell.com, just 2 hours on the Russell, peterrussell.com, and lots of writings and things in there, and videos and meditations and books, hundreds of pages. Social media, just my best is Facebook is Peter Russell Author. Twitter is Peter J. Russell. Instagram, Peter Russell Author.
All right. Well, Peter, thank you so much for joining us. This has been so thought-provoking and so helpful, and I just hope that I can remember and apply what you've told us.
Me too.
Okay. It's just enjoy it. Enjoy it all. That's the main thing. Don't make an effort. Enjoy it.
I love the message. Again, our thanks to Peter Russell, whose latest book is called Letting Go of Nothing. Relax your mind and discover the wonder of your true nature. And again, his website is peterrussell.com. I'm Jan Black.
And I'm Laura Owens.
You're listening to Nobody Told Me. Thank you so much for joining us.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.